All right, let me jump on in here to my Right Side Way monologue, and I'll remind you guys that the Right Side Way monologue, every single day, sponsored for you by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week in all locations. It will see all ages, and it is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and we're glad of it. All right, here we go. Let me start by just asking you guys an age-old question. I'm sure some of you have asked it yourself. Here's the question. Why does God allow some things to happen? That's it. That's my question. Why does God allow some things to happen? Why? Does he ignore some things? Does he not see them coming? Well, I would say no to both of those questions. I mean, if he's a God that can be described as ignorant or a God who can be surprised, then he's not really a God. I choose to believe that he, with a capital H, is God, with a capital G. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing goes unnoticed. Nothing is without intention. So then, if those things are true, then I have to believe that that means things happen for a reason. It's a logical matter of both heart and mind. He is God, therefore there is purpose. So why don't I always get it? I mean, why do I find myself, like I'm sure many of you have been, questioning his purposes? I mean, what's up, God? Why would you allow that? Is there a purpose? Is there a lesson? I once had a friend tell me there may be some things we just won't know until we get to heaven and we sit down with Jesus over a cup of coffee, because I feel certain they have coffee in heaven. And he looks at us and says, okay, let me tell you about that day and why it mattered. But there are some things that are what they are and happen when they happen because his design is also bigger than ours. I have to trust that he has a really good reason. So I could spend all day talking about this. We could go back and forth on issues like pain and crime and financial hardship and health issues, you name it. But let me just focus in for a minute and talk about God's timing. Like, why does God allow things to happen in certain timing? Timing as in why things happen when they do. Specifically, why it sometimes seems like, I don't know, God's late to the party. The only way I can do that, though, is to be transparent for a minute and tell you guys a personal story. So here we go. So Charlene and I have been married for 37 years. She's a very patient woman. Early in our marriage, I was in full-time ministry with an organization called Young Life. In the early 90s, we moved to Georgia, but a year later, that position ended and Young Life decided to move us to Gadsden, where we live now. But we had a house in Georgia. We had already stepped out on faith and bought our first house. And it was a beautiful little house in a good neighborhood, close to all the things that make it a desirable location. So the move came. We put the house on the market, but the new job was already starting, so a good friend of mine gave me some space above his office in Gadsden, and I came over here to work while Charlene and the kids stayed in Georgia trying to sell the house, thinking surely it was going to sell soon. But then time went on, and on, and on. Nearly a year later, the house still hadn't sold. Well, we were young and living on a very small ministry paycheck. We could only afford one house, not two. Why was God taking so long? I mean, weren't we doing his work? We decided enough is enough. We took the house off the market. We found a family who wanted to rent it. So for the next 7 months, they were late on the rent every single time. And then 8 months into our 2-year contract, they walked out and bought the house across the street and accused me of not being Christian enough for understanding that they needed to do something different. Well, suddenly our one house budget had two houses to pay for. We did all we could. We listed the house for sale again. The realtor was mystified why it wouldn't sell. 6 months later, Charlene and I talked and prayed and decided we had no other choice but to tell the bank that we were going to have to let them foreclose on us. So yeah, I called the banker and we had that conversation, and then we waited. To say that I was mad at God might be an understatement. I was trying to do everything right, God. I was trying to be where you wanted me to be. Where are you on this? But then I finally settled into the realization that I can't just trust him when things are easy. That's not trust. Trust really only comes when there's a risk involved. Jeremiah 29 tells me that God actually does have a plan, a specific plan. It's as if he's got a file cabinet and there's a file in it with my name on it and a plan inside that file that's already mapped out. So Charlene and I, we trusted him and we waited. And then my phone rang. A friend of mine called and said that he and his dad like to invest in real estate. He heard that we had a house in Georgia, and they both had the idea that maybe they ought to buy it. because maybe it was hard on us and maybe they could sell it. But would I let him buy it? Yes. Turns out my friend and his dad, who had no real knowledge of what Charlene and I were going through, just had this idea, you know, just a thought. Well, a year and a half after we moved to Gadsden, my friend and his dad bought that house sight unseen. 3 days later, somebody made them an offer for exactly what we had been asking for a year and a half, and they sold it. Look, I did a lot of looking back on that one, trying to figure out what God was doing. I would have been happy if he had sold it right away, you know? I would have been happy and glad not to have a year away from Charlene and the kids. But I never would have experienced the depth of relief that comes from actually trusting him in the middle of a crisis, trusting him to give me some light in the middle of the darkness if he had just rushed in and fixed things right away. I have leaned on that story many times, and for some reason, I felt compelled to tell it to you today. But here's what I know. Here's what I believe. I believe God never wastes time. He never wastes time. He can measure time, he can make use of time, and occasionally he bides his time, but he never wastes time. His timing in that whole debacle of a house situation in Georgia, his timing was the lesson for us then. Sometimes we know on the front end why things are the way they are. Like, you know, a soldier leaving for war, he knows why he's leaving. But sometimes we have to remain actively aware of what the reason might be and search it out. And the lesson might be because the why is not evident, therefore trust is necessary. Maybe the lesson is the trust. God's timing never matches mine. I'm sure you've all heard the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead by Jesus. He was called on, Jesus was, to come quickly because his good friend Lazarus was gravely ill. We're told, though, that even after he got word, Jesus, who had already been healing people, he lingered for several days before going, and by the time he arrived, his friend Lazarus was already dead and laid in the tomb. If he had just gotten there sooner, they said. But if he had come sooner, they never would have seen a man miraculously brought back to life. You see, his timing was part of it. But before I go, I got to mention this, because that God, you need to know this, God is not indifferent or callous. He doesn't just take his timing into account and ignore that it might be hard on us while we wait. If you look back at that story about Lazarus, you'll find the only place in Scripture where we know that God wept because he saw the pain and the anguish of friends who had lost their brother Lazarus. But then the plan came together, and man, did they have a party. So God's timing and my timing, they don't usually line up, right? But his timing always works out better. I am impatient by nature. I don't like to wait, but I do enjoy the party at the end. God never wastes time. So hang in there, y'all. God's timing is perfect. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yes, I do believe it. God never wastes time. His timing's perfect. His timing just doesn't usually match ours. And I'm usually impatient and trying to figure out why. But the reality is he cares. He's got a plan. Work the plan, y'all. Sometimes it involves patience. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.